Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eaglehawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us. Today, as we look to God's Word, our reading is Genesis 24, so you can begin looking that up now. And while you're getting that ready, I'll pray, asking God to bless us as we read and consider His Word, read the passage, and then we'll go to the children's talk. So if you have children, make sure they're listening. Then we'll go to the sermon. And so let's pray. Our Father, your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Shine the light of your word into our hearts that we would hear the truth and rejoice in it. Show us Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And now let's read Genesis 24. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, "Please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to my family, and take a wife for my son Isaac." And the servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came?" But Abraham said to him, "Beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, 'To your descendants I give this land,' he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. Then he said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day, and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, 'Please let down your pitcher that I may drink,' and she says, 'Drink, and I will also give your camels a drink,' let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac, and by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." And it happened, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin, no man had known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Please let me drink a little water from your pitcher." So she said, "Drink, my lord." Then she quickly let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, "I will draw water for your camels also, until they have finished drinking." Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, remained silent, so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. So it was, when the camels had finished drinking, that the man took a golden nose ring, weighing half a shekel, and two bracelets for her wrists, weighing 10 shekels of gold, and said, "Whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge?" So she said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor." Moreover, she said to him, "We have both straw and feed enough, and room to lodge." Then the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord, and he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. So the young woman ran and told her mother's household these things. Now Rebekah had a brother, whose name was Laban, and Laban ran out to the man by the well. So it came to pass, when he saw the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's wrists, and when he heard the words of his sister Rebekah, saying, "Thus the man spoke to me," that he went to the man, and there he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, "Come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels." Then the man came to the house, and he unloaded the camels, and provided straw and feed for the camels, and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Food was set before him to eat, but he said, "I will not eat until I have told about my errand." And he said, "Speak on." So he said, "I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. He has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old, and to him he has given all that he has. Now my master made me swear, saying, 'You shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but you shall go to my father's house and to my family, and take a wife for my son.' And I said to my master, 'Perhaps the woman will not follow me.' But he said to me, 'The Lord, before whom I walk, will send his angel with you, and prosper your way, and you shall take a wife for my son from my family, and from my father's house. You will be clear from this oath when you arrive among my family, for if they will not give her to you, then you will be released from my oath.' And this day I came to the well and said, 'O Lord God of my master Abraham, if you will now prosper the way in which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water. And it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes out to draw water, and I say to her, "Please give me a little water from your pitcher to drink," and she says to me, "Drink, and I will draw for your camels also," let her be the woman whom the Lord has appointed for my master's son. But before I had finished speaking in my heart, there was Rebekah, coming out with her pitcher on her shoulder. And she went down to the well and drew water. And I said to her, "Please let me drink." And she made haste and let her pitcher down from her shoulder and said, "Drink, and I will give your camels a drink also." So I drank, and she gave me camels and a drink also. Then I asked her and said, "Whose daughter are you?" And she said, "The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bore to him." So I put the nose ring on her nose and the bracelets on her wrists, and I bowed my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. Now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me. And if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left." Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, "The thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be your master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken." And it came to pass, when Abraham's servant heard their words, that he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing, and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night. Then they arose in the morning, and he said, "Send me away to my master." But her brother and her mother said, "Let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that she may go." And he said to them, "Do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away, so that I may go to my master." So they said, "We will call the young woman and ask her personally." Then they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." So they sent away Rebekah their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "Our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them." Then Rebekah and her maids arose, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahoi Roy, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening, and he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. Then Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel, for she had said to the servant, "Who is this man walking in the field to meet us?" The servant said, "It is my master." So she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And now it's over to the children's talk.
Hi everyone, I'm here with my four kids, Kai, Ellie, Hannah, and Flick. Say hi, guys.
Hi.
Now, I want to talk to you today about getting invitations and whether you will accept some invitations. What if a friend of yours from school came up to you and says, "Hey, I'm going to go play laser tag on the weekend. Do you want to come with me?" What would you say to that invitation? Oh, gee, I've got hands up very quickly. Ellie?
Yes.
Okay. Would everyone else say yes?
Yup. Definitely. Yep,
definitely.
Oh, okay. So that's something that you would really like to go to. All right. What about if someone said, "Hey, do you want to come to the movies with me? They've got a really cool movie on. Would you like to come with me?" Got hands up again. Who would say yes?
Me.
Oh, definitely.
Everyone would say yes to the movies. What about when you're watching TV and Mum comes up to you and says, "Hey, I'm going to the shops. Does anyone want to come with me?" Who would say, "Yes, I'll come"? Ellie, you would go?
Yes, I would go.
You'd go even when you're watching TV?
Yes.
Oh, wow. You really like going to the shops. But Kai and Hannah, you wouldn't go?
No.
No, you sure?
TV's way better.
Oh, okay. What if your friend who lives at a farm invites you to come and to visit him and to help muck out the stalls? Do you know what that means? What does it mean to muck out the stalls of the horses?
Clean the poop.
Yeah, that's right, to clean up all the poo and the smelly things in their stalls. Would you want to go if that would be your job?
No.
Ellie, you seem pretty excited.
Actually, on second thoughts, I might.
You might? Okay. You might go, Hannah? Oh, maybe. Oh, okay. Do you know, in our Bible story today, someone receives an invitation, and her name is Rebecca. Do you know what invitation she received? Yes, Kai?
An invitation to marry Isaac.
That's right. She was invited to leave her home, to leave her family, to leave everything she'd ever known, and travel a fairly long way and marry someone that she had never met, someone called Isaac. Can you believe that? That's a big invitation to offer someone, isn't it? That's a big thing. Do you know what she said?
Yes.
Hannah, she said yes?
Yes.
Do you know, you're exactly right. Rebecca said yes. She decided that she would leave her family and her friends and everything that she knew, and she would go to marry Isaac. And by marrying Isaac, do you know what was happening? Guess what was happening? Ellie?
God's family was going to grow.
Well, that's right. God's family was going to grow because she was joining the family of Abraham, wasn't she? It was Abraham and Isaac, and now Rebecca was going to marry Isaac. And what would be so good about joining the family of Abraham? Why would anyone want to do that? Kai?
Abraham was a very rich man.
He was rich, sure. Ellie?
He was God's chosen one, and he was going to have a great nation.
Yeah, that's right. We've spoken about God being Abraham being rich, and he was God's chosen one, and he'd be a great nation. God had blessed Abraham, hadn't he? Abraham was blessed, and his family would be a blessing. And Rebekah was joining herself to this family who was blessed. Do you know that we are offered the same invitation? We're not being invited to marry Isaac. That's already happened, and he's not even alive anymore, is he? So we're not being invited to marry Isaac.
Here.
But how are we invited to join Abraham's family?
By believing in Jesus.
Yeah, when we believe in Jesus, we are made part of Abraham's family. We are joined to Jesus, and we are joined to Abraham's family. And all of a sudden, we become Abraham's children, and we receive the blessings. And by trusting in Jesus, we become part of the church, don't we? Become part of the church. And do you know, like Rebekah would marry Isaac and become his wife, the church is said to be the wife of Christ. So Isaac and Rebekah, they were pointing forward to Jesus and the church, to the love that would be between the two, and the fact that they would be blessed. Okay, so let's pray, and I'm going to pray that you and all the people listening would be believing in Jesus, joining Abraham's family, and joining the church, which is the bride of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this story, and we thank you that Rebekah decided to leave everything so that she could be joined to Abraham, so that she could marry Isaac and be part of the blessed family. And thank you that when you call us to come and to believe in Jesus, and when you give us faith to believe in him, that we are joined to the church, which means that we become part of the bride of Christ. Thank you that you love us, and we pray that everyone listening here would now believe in Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our lives are based around this simple fact, that the sun will rise. Because the sun will rise tomorrow and life will continue, I set my alarm. I go to work. I make plans to see family. I plan holidays. Because I can be guaranteed something will happen, I act on it. These sure promises are everywhere. Eventually, the red traffic light will turn green. If I give Jesse a lemon meringue pie, I'll become his favourite person. This life has some sure promises we act on. But we have something even more sure than the sun rising to act on. Because one day the sun won't rise. One day the sun will set on this age, and life as we know it will end. One day Jesus will come, and the world will be remade and renewed, and everything radically changed. That's what God promises. Surer than the sun rising tomorrow are God's promises. People make promises all the time, and they end up disappointing us. They're not home for dinner. That investment didn't make the promised return. They didn't keep your secret. But God keeps his promises, and so we can act on his sure promises just like Abraham does. This whole chapter only happened because Abraham acted on God's sure promises. We see it happening in our first scene, verses 1 to 9. Abraham provides for the future. The writing's on the wall for Abraham, and he knows it. Verse 1. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. As Abraham struggles out of bed and looks out at his camp, he sees how God has blessed him. An army of servants, flocks and flocks of sheep, goats and more. And then he sees his son grown, and he knows something's missing. God had promised Abraham he'd be a nation, that all the nations would be blessed through him. If that's going to happen, Isaac needs to get married and have children of his own. And so, acting on God's sure promises, Abraham provides for the future. See the charge to the servant in verses 2 to 4. Get a wife for Isaac, but not from the Canaanites. He doesn't want Isaac drawn away, involved in their temple prostitution and child sacrifice. He's learned that God isn't interested in human sacrifice. Instead, God provides a sacrifice for humans. The servants to leave the land, go to Abraham's family, and find a wife there. The servant asks in verse 5, "Perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came?" No, Isaac isn't to leave the land. If she won't come, the servant is free from his oath, but he has to at least try to get her to come. And God will be with him. Abraham knows that the sun will set every evening. And unless there's complete cloud cover, he'll see the stars. I can't imagine there were many nights he didn't look up, see those bright lights against a pre-light pollution sky, and remember God's promise, descendants as numerous as the stars. And so he acted. Not like with Hagar, not trying to help God out by going against his designs for marriage and children. This time, he's working within God's designs. He's being like King David would be. David was told he wouldn't build the temple, his son would. And so David provided for the future. 1 Chronicles 22 says he stockpiled gold, silver, costly stones, bronze, iron, wood, stone, everything needed. David imitated Abraham's faith. He knew God's promises were sure, and so he acted. He knew they wouldn't be fulfilled in his day, so he helped to prepare the next generation. Isaac needed a wife, and none of the women in the fruit and veg section of his supermarket will cut it. And so Abraham sends his servant off. Abraham provides for the future. Have you thought how you could provide for the future? Given the sure promises God's made to his people, how can you leave God's people stronger than they were before? Do you care about the future when you've left this earth? Climate activists care about the next generation. The church should care more. We'll think about that more later. Genesis 24 tells us to act on God's promises. We've seen Abraham provide for the future. Now, in verses 10 to 54, the servant works with diligence. He went, arrived, and prayed. Abraham assured him that God would send his angel before him, and so when he arrives at the well, he turns to God. See in verse 12 the love and loyalty he has for Abraham. O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. In love for his master, he turns to God, knowing he needs God. If God is going to keep his promises, God needs to provide a wife for Isaac. And so he prays, confident that God's in control. Verses 13 to 14. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink, let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. It's a simple request. He wants the woman who shows hospitality, care for the stranger, who's hard working. He wants her to be God's choice. This servant knows what's important. He hasn't asked for beauty. He could get that in Canaan. Beauty isn't what's important to Abraham. It's her character, and that's what he prays for. It reminds me a bit of Mr. Bennet in Pride and Prejudice. When he was young, he married a woman who was beautiful and charming, but that was all he knew of her. It didn't take long, though, to realize she was a woman he couldn't respect. She wasn't a woman of learning. She was easily upset and irritable. And so he regularly isolated himself in his study. But the servant was determined that Isaac not have a wife like that. And so he acted. He did the only thing he could do, which turned out to be the best thing he could do. He prayed. And like David will say in Psalm 139, God knows what he's about to say before a word is on his tongue. Verse 15, and it happened, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Over and over in that verse, it's pointing out how incredible this is. Each phrase is full of wonder that God would be so kind to Abraham. Without the servant realizing it, the very woman he's been looking for has come. And it all happens as he prayed. She did give him water and his camels water. No easy feat. Apparently, given the amount camels can drink, and the amount that a normal water jar would hold, Rebekah was going from the well to the trough 80 to 100 times. She's from the right family, industrious, and to top it all off, she was beautiful and available, verse 16. The servant rejoices, and the family decides to let her go. I hope you don't read this thinking that if you do exactly the same thing, you'll get a wife, husband, job, or whatever you want. I hope you're not asking God for signs. I heard one person tell the story of asking God for help on a decision and asked that if the answer was yes, that a bird would fly overhead. And wouldn't you know it, two birds flew overhead almost straight away. Was that an answer? I doubt it. We like to think these incredible moments should be the norm for every Christian, but remember, this was unique. God keeping his covenant with Abraham. Through Isaac and Rebekah, Abraham would become a nation to bless all other nations. Through them, Jesus would come bringing forgiveness through his cross. We're not told to ask for signs when making decisions. We're told to ask for wisdom for our day-to-day issues and worries. And, like Abraham and his servant, we're to act on God's sure promises. Abraham provided for the future. The servant worked with diligence. And in our third heading, verses 55 to 67, Rebekah accepts the call. The servant wants to go quickly. The family wants them to wait for 10 days, verse 55, and so they ask Rebekah. Rebekah's no sheep, and she's not a subjugated woman doing exactly what she's told, bought and sold to the highest bidder. She has her own mind. She's agreed to this marriage. Verse 58, then they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. Can you imagine her faith? Like Abraham, she was willing to leave her father's house, everything she knew, and trust God and his promises. She'd heard of God's faithfulness to Abraham. She saw God had blessed him with wealth, with loyal servants, even with a son in his old age. So she was willing to leave everything to join herself to this family. Because God had given them sure promises, she was willing to act on those promises. Have you expressed the same faith? Have you acted on God's sure promises by joining yourself to Jesus? The very fact Jesus came, bringing forgiveness and blessing to anyone who'd believe in him, shows that God keeps his promises. There are people in this church who can testify to the truth of his promises. He does forgive sin. He removes shame. He gives hope. meaning, purpose, life to the full. He changes you and makes you more like him. He gives you his Holy Spirit. Some friends of mine lived on a farm, and the dad got the kids to do some work with the promise of payment. Now, I think he said beforehand what he'd pay them for each job. They did the work and then lined up for payment. And the dad put the money into their hands, coin after coin, and it kept going. The dad was adding more and more beyond what they'd thought he would. He was enjoying giving to his children. And as sure as blossom comes with the spring, God is even more generous than that to those who accept the call. See the blessing in verse 60? Our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of ten thousands, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. This sounds like the promise Abraham was made in chapter 22. And it came true. Not only would her physical descendants become powerful, but her spiritual children, the church, are promised by Jesus that the gates of hell won't be able to stand against her. For those with faith in Jesus, who've accepted the call, they have victory. The enemy will try to bring charges against you, to say you're guilty. But Satan's already defeated. He can't rightly accuse us of wrongdoing or say we deserve hell. Our sin's already been punished on the cross. For those in Christ, we're completely cleansed. Sin has been completely dealt with. There's no need for purgatory to burn the sin away after death. In Jesus, we're immediately accepted. And so Rebecca goes with the servant to Isaac. And you see at the end of the chapter, so Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Just a hint of God's personal kindness and care. When we read this story, we need to remember the larger story. The covenant with Abraham, continued in Isaac, fulfilled in Jesus. But we should never forget the care God shows to his people. Rebecca isn't just a cog in the machine to keep the covenant going. She is a specially tailored gift to comfort a grieving son. And we should always remember the love the Father has for Jesus, his son, in providing a bride for him. The church, full of people washed and redeemed, to bring him pleasure. We've had a few hints along the way of how this long story can apply to us. But a question we all need to ask ourselves is, how can I be more like Abraham? He acted on God's sure promises. His time was coming, so he provided for the next generation. As we hear the sure promises of God, that those who trust in Christ are saved and his church will ultimately be victorious against the evil one, how can we act on that? If you're feeling as old as Abraham without much to offer, you're wrong. At the very least, you can pray. Would you pray for the children of your church? You might not think you're good at praying, but how about saying the Lord's Prayer for each child? Your kingdom come, your will be done in that child's life, and that child's life, and that child's life, as it is in heaven. Give them each day their daily bread. Would you pray like that? And then you could turn to a psalm and pray through that, inserting their names into it. You don't need to be a genius at prayer. Use the words God's already given you. That's a way to act on God's sure promises, by praying he would. That his promise wouldn't be true only in general, but for those specific children, or those specific young adults, or for your church. Because while the church will be victorious, that doesn't mean all local churches will continue. Sometimes, for various reasons, they close. And so pray that God would sustain us and grow us, not for our glory and comfort, but for his glory, and the good of our community. Act on God's sure promises. Pray and encourage. Is there someone you could get alongside of, that you could give an encouraging word to, who you could bring into your home, that you could pray with, open the Bible with, read a short section or a long section and chat about? You could do that whatever age you are. Abraham acted on God's promises by providing for the future, ensuring the next generation would continue. We do the same thing when we give generously to the work of the gospel each week, as we take up our offering, or as you set a regular amount to give with internet banking, you're doing the same thing. The question to ask is, are you actually giving generously, or are you only giving spare change? Remembering that what's generous for one person might be spare change for another, depending on their situation. You might also like to think about how you can provide for the church after your death. Occasionally, people leave money to their church in their will. What a wonderful blessing when that happens. Maybe after providing for your family, you'd like to leave something to the church or to the denomination. Just something for you to think about. Abraham acted on God's sure promises, providing for the future. Through him, Isaac had a wife and would later have children. His concern was for the future. How different from Hezekiah? Hezekiah started out as a good king of Israel, but then he was proud and showed off the kingdom to the Babylonians. All the riches, all the glorious buildings, he showed them everything. And God said through Isaiah in 2 Kings 20, "One day everything in your house, which has been stored up, will be carted off to Babylon, and your children will be eunuchs in the palace in Babylon." And what did Hezekiah say? "The word of the Lord that you have spoken is good." For he thought, "Why not, if there will be peace and security in my days?" Let's not be like Hezekiah, only caring about our time. Let's be like Abraham, acting on God's sure promises, providing for the future with our encouragements, prayers, finances, evangelistic efforts. Whatever age you are, old or young, work for the good of the generation coming. And we can do it with confidence, because God's promises are sure. Let's pray. God of all wisdom and grace, we praise you for your providential care and control over all things, that you make promises to your people, and we can act on them because they are sure and true. We love seeing your faithfulness to the fathers of the faith in the Old Testament, and we rejoice every time you show yourself personally faithful to us. When you preserve us in our faith, when you forgive our sins, when you provide our daily bread. Give us wisdom, we pray, in how we may serve and provide for the future. May we not be blinded by our own needs and cares, that we forget we are a part of a larger reality, a larger world. The world did not start with us and won't end with us. Help us see how each of us can contribute to the welfare of the church, and the church of the generation following us would be stronger. Stronger in faith, knowledge, understanding, wisdom, resources, numbers. May we always be seeking for the glory of our Saviour to be proclaimed and loved throughout the ages. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. Next week, we'd love to have you join us in person for our service at 10 a.m. I hope to see you there. And as always, if you'd like to make a comment on what you've heard today, you have a question, or you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. You can also contact us through Facebook or Instagram. God bless you.